Hello, hello, can you hear me? Fine? All right, let's do this. So hi, my name is Jonas Turner, and I'm here to talk about my video game, Tormentor X Punisher. I know it's a dumb name, but eh. So yeah, cool. First off, oh, that's way more than I expected. So, it was actually three people. So, first off, I'll just show you our gameplay trailer. If I have internet, I do. So, yeah, let me get back to my not-so-crazy presentation. How does this work? No? Full screen? Well, eh? Oh, playing, that's right. Wow, that's crazy. So, cool. First off, who am I? I ask that to myself every day. So, my name is Jonas Turner. I'm a sound designer and voice actor at E-Studio. Like I say over there, I work at E-Studio. Wow. These days, I'm also, surprisingly, a game designer with Tormentor X Punisher, amongst maybe some other stuff. Here's some of the games I worked on before. Badland 1 and 2. How many of you have heard of the game series Badland? Nice. I worked on a game called Nuclear Throne. Do you guys know that? Ah, sweet. This is cool. A game called Downwell. Nice. A game called Broforce. Oh, wow, that's more than these games combined. Shit. Sorry for the language, but... Bleed 2, that's what Nilos has talked about, so you all should know the game, right? Good. Angry Birds Transformers. Angry Birds, yeah. Woo! Right? Environment Station Alpha that Nilos talked about. I worked on a game called Steamverse Alliance, Big Bang Legends, which is out now. Woohoo! And so on and so on and so on. A bunch of games. I compose for games now and then. And I'm also totally a professional PDF maker. I can see it. All this stuff is all around the place. Cool. So, first off, I made a game called Tormentor X Punisher. it started as a... I'm just going to talk a bit of the history of the game. So it started as a personal hobby slash jam game. Back in 2014/2015, in the beginning, I was playing Geometry Wars and reading a bunch of comics, and I was like, man, I want to do a game. And then I started making a game, and it became this weird demon shooter arcade-y game. And it was just like a few months before going to GDC, which is the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. And I took this like kind of shoddy... crappy kind of prototype with me. And I showed it to my friends at the Yerba Buena Gardens, which is, or Yerba Buena Park, which is right next to GDC. And I was showing it to my friends, like, I want to try my new game. They're like, yeah, sure. And they played it, and they're like, oh, shit, this is pretty cool. And they kind of got into it, and they were, like, having small competition matches against each other and stuff. And that's kind of how the game suddenly just started gaining traction. And... then I got into talking with a publisher called Raw Fury. Before Tormentor X Punisher, they had released unfunded games like Kingdom, Cafe Rain, and Goner. Goner is really sweet. And they were like, yeah, we want to give you money so you can make this game reality, like a proper commercial game. It's like, oh man, I don't know. I kind of do sounds and voice acting for games. Making a game, sure. And, well, sure, just like, yeah, sure, give me, I'll sign anything. So yeah, here we are, almost a week away, oh, 2 weeks away from launch. I don't know why I wrote week. But yeah, coming out 2nd of June, this is pretty crazy. So enough about history and me, let's talk about the sounds and music. Sound effects. So, as you could tell probably from the trailer, I wanted everything in the game to sound over the top. Like, everything's just pushed. Actually, how many of you guys are related with sounds or audio or music? Good. Good. So now that I'm talking, I know that I'm not talking to people who are like, what's a compressor? Great. So everything's pushed over the limit. It's like, I have like this tightest limiter on like the master bus, and all of the sounds that I make are just like hitting it. It's just like, imagine Metallica's record that was squashed. This is next level from that shit. So like lots of puns, ridiculous, like everything just hits overdrive. I was just like, well, kind of, sure, it's a bit stuffed, but pop some overdrive, make it nice and grainy. I just wanted the vocals to be over the top. I'll come back to the vocals soon. But like, as you could hear, the character is like, ah, fuck you, ah, and like, I just wanted to be dumb. Dumb was like the number one key in this game. I wanted it to be cartoony, because like the whole roots of the game is like cartoons, animation, like dumb 80s and 90s anime with low budget. 90s DOS games, like Finland and 90s DOS games are just crazy tight. Like we have games like Tapan Kaikki. Do you guys know a game called Tapan Kaikki? Ah, woohoo, right, yeah. That's the stuff, and like stuff like Old Quake or Old Doom and stuff like that. I just love the sound and feel of those games. It's like nice, cruddy, crummy, and like, just, I don't know, it's cool. It's apparently cool. So, I wanted everything to produce a sound. So, like, everything from footsteps on different materials or the gun being out of ammo, doing like sound, and like, just everything. Everything, like, we have these spawner things where the demons come out, and if you walk on top of those, they disappear. I wanted everything to make a sound, like, everything. Everything to make a sound. And actually, the footsteps, this is for the programmer nerds, we did this cool thing with the game where we have, like, millions of objects at the same time, and we knew that we just can't make a game with millions of objects at the same time. So we made this system where we kind of fake objects a lot. Like the floor and stuff, they're actually not objects anymore. They're just drawn onto the game. Like everything is kind of drawn on a surface, which meant we couldn't have detection out of like objects, like collision stuff. Like I couldn't be like, this is metal and this is stone. I just couldn't have that from the objects themselves. So we made a system. Let's show you a quick picture of the system. Whoa, this is scaled. A bit funny. So we made this cool footstep detection thing, if you can see it. Let's, like, you can see all this stuff. It's telling me that's rock, that's metal surface over there and stuff. Okay, this is an old picture. It's kind of wonky, but like, we could, like, kind of tell from the colors and shapes what material the floors are and stuff like that. It's like, it goes really hacky, but it works close enough. Play. So yeah, I wanted everything to make a sound. Even like when bosses spawn, we have bosses in the game, and like when you first see a boss spawn, that makes like a sound, and then when you kill enemies, that the boss spawns depending on how many enemies you kill. So along the way, we kind of give you cues to how close a boss is to spawn. And we do something cool with that as well, with the music. I'll get to that later. Shooting creates polyrhythms. That's a big thing. Like the game, I'm going to come back to the BPMs and stuff, but the game is like, ooh, it's like gang, 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 gang. And I wanted the player's machine gun, the kind of, or like the player's actions to kind of work with the music in a sense. So we made the machine gun shoot in triplets. So like when it's gang, 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 when it shoots, it's like da, 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 da. And it's not in lock with the tempo of the song. Instead, it's like you can shoot whenever. But whenever you shoot, it kind of creates a polyrhythm then. You guys know what a polyrhythm is? It's when the music is like, and someone else comes there, like, messes around, and that's kind of a polyrhythm. It's pretty cool. If you listen to bands like Meshuggah, that's pretty cool. So, voices. I'm doing this talk really fast because apparently I'm a bit pressed on time. So voices, to tell the player everything somewhat organically. So, like, in the game, I didn't want any UI, like user interface. I didn't want, like, to see your bullets or, like, your HP or any of that stuff. So I was like, let's just make the player shout out stuff. So when you're out of bullets, your player is like, reload or shoot the shotgun, because you shoot the shotgun to reload your machine gun in this game. I hate reloads. And so the player just shouts stuff, and when you gain an upgrade, like we have this Tony Hawk's kind of trick system where you have to like bounce a bullet to kill an enemy. You can kind of gain upgrades, so to say. And then the player is like, oh, Wally, or so long, or whatever, all kinds of different upgrades. Just like screaming. And originally, the jam version that I made of the game acted as a test for my friend Isa And. I was working on Nuclear Throne, and we needed a voice actress for a character called Rebel. And my friend was like, my girlfriend could voice act the character. I was like, yeah, why not? Like, I'll let her test on my jam game and see if she, like, kind of has it to voice act. Because not everyone does that. And then she came over, and she just nailed it. I was just like, oh, wow, this is crazy. Just went for it, like, oh, fuck you. And I was like, okay, you can scream. You're in. And she did the vocals for Rebel then. And she did the vocals on Bleed 2, female vocals on Gun Katana, and stuff like that. Like, she worked on a bunch of games with us ever since. She's amazing. So the sounds were created overly thick and full. Like when I talked earlier, like everything's pushed, it's limited, and just can't move. And something that I learned from Nuclear Throne, because in Nuclear Throne I made everything, again, like ridiculously limited, and I started carving stuff. And I did the same with this game, so everything is with like this massive attack, like, not the band, massive just attack, and then I had to like carve, so instead of being like, I wanted to be like, so I had to like carve the attacks with EQs and all kinds of stuff. But it's pretty fun. And creating sounds overly thick and full kind of make the game naturally like more dynamically compressed. So I don't need to use compressors in the game to make everything feel nice and level. They're already over nice and level, so I can reduce their volumes and stuff. Then they still sound really compressed. Like, if you just quickly listen to a small bit of gameplay, you can kind of hear what I mean. Hello, where are you? There. Is the volume too low, or should I? So cool. Like, you can kind of hear it's all really kind of audible and, you know, together working as a unified whole. This is pretty cool. Okay. Woohoo. So, like I do with most of my games, I use the same recording equipment and, like, a mastering chain to tie everything together in the same sonic space. So let's say if I would be recording footsteps, I'd always use the same microphone, the same preamplifier, and like the same processing, just to make everything sound like they're in the same sonic space. And with the mastering thing, the mastering chain, that means like when I create a Pro Tools session or whatever audio software session, when you have the master bus or the master track, I would have like the same compressors, same limiters, same EQs, whatever, each of the sounds that I make for the game. So they all kind of sound like they are mastered together. Like someone was asking about mastering earlier today, and that's kind of how I tackle mastering, and Neil as well, actually. Cool. Oddly enough, we don't use that many funky real-time audio tricks. Instead, we just created a mixer that I could easily mix the games, because this game is made in Game Maker. And Game Maker and audio is not that cool, and we made our own mixer so we could mix the game. It's not really that thrilling for audio nerds, so to say, but what I really believe is if you do good design, if you plan a good design, no matter what the tools are that you need to use to produce the game, if you design everything around those tools and with an end thinking in mind, or end game in mind, no pun, you just design everything properly and you know your limits, it will ultimately yield the best result. Like, you can have Wise, F, Mod, Fabric, or whatever audio engine, those are tools to help you to achieve a good design. Sometimes they are mandatory for a good design. Like in Badland, the game wouldn't work as well if you didn't have this massive audio engine behind it. But games like this or Nuclear Throne, this is okay as long as I design or you design the game for this. So keep good design always in mind. Like, plan stuff. Like, I take usually a week or 2 weeks before starting a game, so I just design and I plan what I want from the game, why, and so on and so on and so on. So planning is good. Paper is good. Also in money. Okay. Music. Let's get to music. How many of you are interested in music? Good, me too. Okay, so in this game, as you could probably tell, I really wanted a heavy industrial soundscape, kind of nodding a bit to the metal side of life. If I would have electronic music bits in this, I wanted to be like, boom, boom, instead of like, just that didn't feel right to me. I just wanted to be like, aggressive, attacking. The music is all 120 beats per minute. So all the tracks in the game are the same tempo, which made it easy to sync up different songs. So how we use songs in this game is, we only have one level in the game. The whole game is based on one arena, and that arena changes rapidly. Like, in 3 minutes time, you've already experienced 4 different bosses and 8 different songs. So I wanted everything to be easily to be synced up. And also, when you shoot the machine gun, when all the songs have 120 BPM, it's easy to keep the triplet feel on the machine gun without doing any crazy code tricks. So, rapid changes in music. We have a song pre-boss, that's like the gong, gong, gong. Then a boss spawns. The boss's own theme starts playing. And then when you kill the boss, a post-boss theme starts playing. So when I have a boss, aka a level slash boss, they have 2 songs to them. They're really short, but they also kind of act as sound effects when a boss spawns, in a sense. I'll show you a quick example with that. Ooh, where are you? Again, let's take the same gameplay clip. I'll just skim a bit. Actually, sorry, there's one audio trick that we do, and that's music fades down the closer that a boss is to spawn. So the music will go to zero, and boom, when the boss spawns, it kind of hits. It's being composed so that the boss intros always hit. So it's like, it kind of acts as a sound effect alone. It's pretty cool. You'll notice it here, hopefully. Music's going down. No music. And then the boss dies, the song changes. Thank you. So yeah, the music changes rapidly in a really short span of time. So, something I wanted to try with the game, because I was composing most of the stuff with like guitars and real drums and real bass and vocals and stuff. I didn't want to use synthesizers that much, because, I don't know, I just didn't feel like using synthesizers. Instead, I wanted to use like violins or like brass instruments or just random whatever instruments, or even like breathing as an instrument. I just stacked so much overdrive on top of overdrive on top of overdrive to make these instruments sound like synths, which is kind of weird, but it just makes it into a more organic, kind of more scruncy being. And I use that on guitars as well. I would add more distortion on top of distorted guitar. I would drive the drums through like guitar amplifiers or bass amplifiers and stuff like that. I'll show you a quick Pro Tools session. Show you what I mean with this stuff. Okay. Woohoo! That's really rare to see Pro Tools operate that fast. So like this. So that's just a brass like trombone with a lot of overdrive. Now you can hear it alone, you're like, okay, it's a trombone, come on, man, or whatever, brass instrument. Then I would use like low brass instruments. Let's make it nice and muddy. So, you know, distortion on top of distortion. But it sounds pretty cool. I think so. So yeah, just using overdrive a lot to make things crunchy. Like the electronic drums that I played first in the drum set, that's like just distorted beyond distortion. That's kind of cool. Variations, this is kind of a guitar player thingy. So variations on how to play the guitar to affect the sound a lot. Even if it's just like between my ears, but like it's just playing a guitar like it just gives like a more chunk kind of a sound. Actually, let's demo that real quick. Where are you? Come on. Okay. So let's take like this song that we just played. It's like, no, actually, I'll take this one. This like. That's like really digging into the strings, like, and then the post song of this one, like when the boss is dead, it's more played like that twangy feel, so that just gives a different tonality to the exact same guitar combination. So, you know, just approaching an instrument differently, you can get different results out of them. That's pretty much what I try to say there. everything is recorded at our studio, which is E-Studio, currently in Pitämäki, Helsinki, but we're actually building a new one in Sipo. It should be ready end of summer. Like I told you earlier, drums are read through guitar and bass stuff. Guitars are recorded through a Pod X3 like amplifier, modeling amplifier. A Orange amp and cab, a Mesa Boogie amp, and stuff like that. And I actually have a... Do you guys want to see a video of the soundtrack recording process? In the studio? Yeah. That was the most enthusiastic. Hello.
så det var lätt. Jag böll lite nu.
That was the vocal of the classic Nilo. Cool. Let's move on. So yeah, that's our cool little studio. Nothing was sacred. Sounds were mangled, pitched down, cut and grit like crazy, resampled and layered. Good example being the post-snitch song. And I like how I have to jump again over here. Where are you? Come on. So I'll just quickly show you, like, on this particular song, I, like, took the guitars and bass, and I also pitch-shifted them one octave below to make them nice and, like, saaks täältä jostain alaspäin palaa? Mulla ei toimi volumen appulaisessa. Tuulisista mä saan, joo. So here's like the normal guitars. And then here's the pitched down ones. Nothing sacred. Like, let's take this out and listen. It's like. It's like nice, basic, kind of chalky metal. But then I wanted to make it more heavy. Take him away. Just using small tricks like that. Actually, here's the bass drum for a guitar amp. Sounds kind of dumb. Cool. That's what a bass drum and a snare drum sounds like for a guitar amp. Okay, let's get back into business. Oh, man. How many of you have played the new Doom game or know of the music of the new Doom game? Man, it's so good. But at the same time, I was super worried when that came out. I was like, shit, this is a good soundtrack. Shit, it is a good soundtrack. It's really similar. So I was already like mid-production, I had done a bunch of songs, and I had the whole like idea in my head. Then I played Doom, and I was like, oh no. I knew that I'd be super compared to it. Which, in a sense, is luckily a good thing, because it's a really good soundtrack. And you know, it's, even to this day when I like play people my songs, they're like, oh man, you played the new Doom, right? Yes, I have a lot of. Oh well. So, I thank a fee. I don't know, do we have time for a QA? Yeah, maybe. Okay, quick QA. Any questions? No? Oh.
Thanks for the presentation. It's Jussi from Taiwan. And I want to ask about, you do a lot of music for indie videos.
Oh, that's a good question. So, I always need to see the exact amount of work. I need to see the project at hand. Like, I don't really work by a hourly rate or like daily rate as such. I need to see the actual work at hand. I need to design, like, think about the design, think about if I need to like be at the implement, how much I have to be at the implementation stage, iterations and all that stuff. So it's really all dependent on the project. That's all I can really say. Of course, it's bulk pricing and stuff like that, but it's always depending on the project. That's the best answer I can give. Yeah, well, then again, it's like making game art from scratch. You could take Super Mario and make Super Mario into a Doom character, but that's Super Mario. That's not Doom. That's how I say it, at least. Any other questions? Yeah, it's usually like, let's say it is all by email. I would get an email, hey, we need sounds and music in our game. This is what we kind of want. And then I would read that. I would reply to them like, oh, okay, that's cool. What about this and this and this thing? What platforms are you going for? Is it for like a phone or is it PlayStation 4 or whatever? And going through all that info, then going through like the artistic possibilities, the technical possibilities, and just generally everything. And then when it comes to like references and stuff, yeah, sure, they might send references. Usually it's like, hey, we like this game. Can you make it sound like this game? I'm like, well, sure, but no, let's make it sound like your game. And then we just go through what their game sounds like and kind of going through all those possibilities. Rock, paper, scissors. Preferably, yeah. So yeah, like me personally, I love working on top of visuals. That's kind of the most inspiring thing for me, and that also lets me see inside of the game. Like I know, okay, that's what it looks like. That's the visuals behind the game. What can I do to enhance this? But sometimes, like with Nuclear Throne, actually, there's this boss called Big Dog. And I actually made an audio tape first of the boss. And we based the designs and visuals on top of that audio tape. And it's like, I don't know, it kind of depends. But usually I like to work on top of visuals. That's kind of my thing. If there's no visuals, then I just need to hear the design and the whole world and theme. And I'll work on top of that somehow. Produce a music. Man, that's... wow. How long does it take to produce a food? It depends totally on how long the piece should be, what kind of music it is, what do I need to do to make it happen. It might be, at best cases, 4 hours. You're like, oh, I just nailed it. I'm right in the zone. I know what to make. Sometimes it might be like 2 weeks. Like, depends on the project 100%. And it always changes if you need to bring in other people as well. Like, if you, let's say you're making a song and they want a violinist to play like the main violin part, but for some reason they just can't make it happen. And let's say they break their finger, of course that piece will take longer. But yeah, it always depends. It's impossible to give really any proper answer without doing it. Yeah, sorry for the vague answer. I know, it sucks. Cool. More QA at the after party. It's one beer, one question. So, right before I end, I want to end this with a dumb music video. Tell you a bit more about how to play the game.
We have a little song for you. Welcome.
Remember, it's done. Where's my wallet? Damn.